That's how I can do it. Anyway, as I said, this I should, it's later. Just more about the value. Commentaries are very valuable. But like everything, there's a point where it has to turn and go in another direction. So, and so even when we're doing commentaries, it's not that you have to go into great detail. It's much more the feeling and the atmosphere that is in the vibration. You may even repeat some words, some thoughts, but with deep concentration. And that energy goes out. It touches the souls. But I, as the instrument facilitator, I am in that consciousness myself and experiencing it myself. So it's not you have to think of always many new ideas. You can actually, like anything you learn new, you repeat. But not repeat like a parrot, but repeat with an inner concentration. This is the subtle work. This is the subtle things that will bring service to another level. People always say, I want to bring service to another level, but how can I bring service to another level if I don't bring myself to another level? You know, it won't work. And this is what Baba tried to tell us in the Muli. He says, everything's great. He said, it's good. But to go to another level. And so meditation commentaries when I'm doing with students, it doesn't have to be really long pauses. Pause between thoughts. A lot of deep silence. And the worst thing is the rushing. You know, I've seen people do commentaries sometimes with students, like to get it done in, you know, 5-7 minutes. A lot of rush, and they are not in meditation. They're just using the technique. They themselves are not in meditation. And again, you know, souls will still get something because it's the truth. They'll get something. But they won't get the energy to be inspired to transform. Because it's subtle. Yeah? It's subtle. People have to feel. Unless a soul feels love, feels peace deeply, they will not be motivated to keep going. They just may feel good for that moment and then back to the old things again. So it's very important that I understand in the self what it means to facilitate. I don't interfere. I don't have a desire. So the less desire I have, the more the soul can be a facilitator. And once we, you know, we're talking about this, is, you know, I shouldn't need service. But when the soul has the qualities deeply within, their existence is the service. The fact we exist is a service for humanity. Baba has given us this awareness. So the purer I am, the more benefit there is for others. The more selfless I am, then the more the benefit is very permanent. And they will feel, you know, souls will feel it comes from God. They won't feel it comes only from you. Yes, they will feel that the instrument is a facilitator, is close to God, but they will feel actually God is doing it all. But that's got to be in my consciousness. And so Baba says, don't run around for service. What do we have to do? Fly around for service, not run around. Fly with what? With a concentrated thought. Appear, disappear. Angels are able to disappear because they don't need applause. It says, look, I'm not making any appearance unless I see you appreciate. I'm not doing this unless this. They're unconditional because they're instruments. But I can't be an instrument unless I feel complete in myself. Again, I'll discuss that a little bit later. So just the value. Commentaries are valuable, but you know, when doing them, it's to be very easy and to keep my connection, because that vibration is much stronger than the words. And the words can only be, you know, be a few sentences and a lot of silence. But never allow the self to be impressed by the self, because then the connection of other souls with Bhava will kind of be cut. So, anyone would like to share their experience? Okay, Marina, you can come. So, we all, you know, quiet, silent, and we'll see. The microphone, yeah.
Is it good? And now I just relax. I relax my body, my skin, and my mind. I feel to be quiet. More and more, my mind becomes soft and silent. I let go my body, my role. Let go. I feel myself to become a vibration in the air. I feel myself to become so light. I'm becoming light. I am light. Now I reach a dimension of light. Light and power, a gentle power. This is the supreme power. And I look at him, a poet, the supreme poet, the unlimited poet. I see the golden paper, and I want to read this poem for me. And the words of this poem are full of meaning for me, are full of love for me. They are deep, and they go deep inside of me. They can transform everything is old in myself, and I read the title of this poem, sparkling on the golden paper, looking into your eyes, looking into your eyes, I can see your deep love, your true love for me, and the violence in the world disappear. Looking into your eyes, I can see your purity and the fear in the world disappears. Looking into your eyes, I can see an image of the future. Will go in the future. I am becoming my own future. I become love. I am love. Keep in front of my eyes my image in the future. I will be a deity.
So, Baba the poet. We're running a little late, so I'll go on. So thank you. One of the things that we hear a lot is about the incorporeal. Do I understand what it means? Because according to how I what I understand, so will be my experience of it. But one thing is definitely sure. The incorporeal is a very subtle stage. Very clearly this morning, until I have disinterest, until I really let go and let go, I will never feel the authenticity or reality of my original self. And when we speak of the incorporeal self, we mean, well, Baba means, he's told us, is that actually you start to really become aware of the original blueprints of the self. That is, love, peace, happiness, in its very pure form. You see, the one thing is, I experience this in the pure form, then when I have to translate it into my daily life, in my interactions, love will have different aspects like respect or kindness or compassion or forgiveness, like peace. When I translate it into the drama, because the actor must translate into the drama, or express, you know, maybe express is a better word, then it's going to be a variety, you know, like peace. Peace, you know, harmonizes. A deeply peaceful person is a harmonizer. This is when Baba says mastery of the world, master of the world. It means that such souls bring balance and harmony wherever wherever is their footprint. You know, in ecology now they talk about the carbon footprint, but you know, we have a footprint also. And that footprint of purity comes from the incorporeal stage. So the expression or the manifestation will be in different ways. And that expression in behavior is reflecting to what extent I have the original blueprint of that quality in my awareness. That is, for example, people speak about love, but in most cases it's not there. It's an enormous mixture. You can't be loving and have grudges. You can't be loving and be critical. You can't be loving and gossip. You can't be loving and not forgive. You can't be loving and keep animosity or bad feeling. I can't be loving, can I? Confluence age, and Baba shows us this, that love is democratic at this time. Only God can be democratic, by the way, because he's unconditional. Only an unconditional, unbiased soul with a very pure heart has an ability to see equality. You know, they can see that equality of souls. So it's very important when we speak of incorporeal, the originally authentic. I go back to those pure state of awareness. But you see, when I'm in meditation, I'm not going to be thinking about, is it respect, is it kindness? No, that's only when I'm in action. In the yogic stage, in that deep contemplative yogic stage, I'm not thinking of, I'm not churning, I'm not reflecting, I'm experiencing. What experience? What's the experience? I am that. It's like Shiv Baba when he told Brahma Baba about, you know, the Vishnu form, you are that. You are that. Reflection, as we said yesterday, was the churning, the sorting out. Because I need to do that for dharana. You know, when I have dharana with certain actors in the drama, I need to understand which aspect, for example, of love I need to use. Is it forgiveness? Is it respect? Is it detachment? It's an aspect of love, you know, detachment. But when I'm in deep contemplation, when I'm in deep silence, this is not what I'm doing. It's another thing at another time. Because the time for deep remembrance is the time for experience. And remember we said yesterday, where there's experience, I cannot be deceived. I cannot have doubts about things. It's because I only have knowledge and not experience, I have doubts. And when I have not the deep experience in a consistent way, if it's, you know, everybody talking about sustainability in nature, but you know, if there's not sustainability in the self, you know, we can't give it to nature, we can't give it to others. And silence is the big sustainer, connective silence. That silence where there's connection. Not the passive silence, the connected silence. And so the incorporeal state is that original blueprint consciousness. It's like, you know, not just I am a soul, but I am me. And this is what we call, you know, the holistic stage, the complete stage. I will never be able to make confident, sustaining changes. We call it effort. Unless my starting point is, or my reference point is, that original complete self. Because if it's not, I'm going to be very lost in battling, struggling, and hopeless about the self. It happens a lot, disheartenment. Baba talks about the sickness of disheartenment. And it's because what I do is I have knowledge, I have a code, and I straight away try to apply it. And, you know, there's a lot of disappointment when you apply, you know. 2,500 years of body consciousness doesn't go away overnight. And it can be very disappointing. Because souls, I feel, you know, they're very honest and they do have good intentions. And then they hit a brick wall. But that's because the method is not quite right. Every time I have to go back, every day I have to go back to that complete self, that, you know, it's not only I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a pure soul, you know. I've got to link with this. Otherwise, you know, I will, I'll battle. No, usually, you know, what happens is that people either get very entangled in their defects or their shortcomings, and they or ignore it. They do not acknowledge it. Both are extremes, and both will bring me down. And, you know, if I'm doing the wrong type of transforming, because there is a thing as wrong type of transforming, if I'm doing a wrong type of transforming and it's all not this, not that, not the other, don't, like the commandments, you know, it's very frustrating. And, you know, when a person is frustrated, they rebel. You know, and when they rebel, the intellect is not clear to understand what's the spiritual meaning really. And also, if you have people who also with you who don't understand properly, you know, it's it becomes a bit, you know, chaotic, you know, very caged. I have to be able to step out of it. And for me anyway, the way to step out, because I think we all get in these situations, the way to step out is, for me anyway, has always been, I've trusted God's love. Even if I've not felt it. Maybe something, you know, we don't feel it sometimes. But I do accept that this is a special time. I do accept that certain things. And that trust makes you step back and be quiet. And the experience has been, you know, return. You don't have to transform or work so hard. When Rabba says intense effort, what does that mean? You know what it means? You know, like some people think it's just hammering, you know? Some people it's cutting. Some people it's, you know, copy-paste. You know, there's all different interpretations. But intense effort means to be actually to be very quiet. You know that? Very quiet and very aware. Very mindful. You know, that's the way. Huh? That's what intense effort is. Yes, to be to remain connected to your complete self, to remain connected to the original blueprints, we don't do it enough. We think we get lost in the wrong type of effort sometimes, or even in service. Forget quietness. Forget the power of inner tranquility. Serenity. You know, that's the real meaning of shanti, is that deep serenity. And serenity always, some of you, you know, English is not your language, but serenity means that feeling of completeness and contentment. The contentment comes from me being me. Because in the drama, it's impossible to be anybody else. It's impossible. You're not supposed to be. But that doesn't mean that I can't learn from others, that I'm not open to others. It doesn't mean I cannot be inspired, certainly. Humility is a big key. It opens many doors, humility. And dependency closes all those doors. Because, you know, as human beings, you know, we've lost the art of having that golden point, you know, that actually you turn and do something else rather than just because it's convenient you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. How can I put that? You know, like a ladder. You climb a ladder, but then you get to the destination. You just don't keep climbing and climbing. It's like we said yesterday, I reflect, but I don't keep reflecting and reflecting and reflecting. You know, I remain still. I get into that awareness. It is a very, very crucial method to use. Otherwise, you know, I just see sometimes souls very frustrated and disappointed, where it requires it requires honesty with myself, but also that gentleness and that and being very realistic about certain things, you know. The pollution definitely is there. See, when people ignore that they are polluted, then that's, you know, a lot of ego and a lot of blaming and a lot of projection on others. You know, you have made me unhappy. You have done this to me. Nobody has done anything to me. Nobody. But if, you know, I ignore my own inner pollutions, that's what I'm going to do. Or the other way, I take it all on board. All on board. Yes, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm the lowest of the low. You know, in English we have the very strong word, scumbag or something like this. It's not a very nice word, but, you know, it's all the rubbish, like being garbage. No, and sometimes religion has taught us that. But even then, that's not to blame. I decide how I'm going to live my life. I do decide it. I've been given Baba's knowledge, and then, you know, I've got to think it out. I remember when I came to Gyan, you know, I had long hair, very long hair and a beard. And I can see a picture now. They're all gone. And I remember when coming to Madhuban, you know, I had jeans. I never wore whites for a long time, you know. And because I liked the knowledge. I liked the experience of the yoga. I felt... And I never thought of golden age. Yes, I wanted to be pure now. This is what I want. And I didn't think of the other things so much. And but of course, when coming to Madhuban, you know, I remember one Mataji, you know, she was from London, and she said, do you have other clothes? I said, well, no, I didn't, actually. I didn't have... And I was rather slimmer in those days. And so the jean says, you know, those trousers are rather tight. I said, well, I didn't notice. And then, you know, I decided to get, you know, shave and cut my hair. In those days, we were, you know, we didn't have a lot of training and preparation, you know, it was just a few of us. And I remember coming back and Daijang says, "Why'd you cut your hair?" And whereas in Madhuban they said, "Oh, you know, that's what, you know, sages do when they found their, you know, goal, they cut their hair and they shave and they wash." I said, "Well, that wasn't the reason why I did it. It was just I wanted to be a bit cleaner." And I remember they said, "Why did you do this?" I thought, "What?" But also, people say it was good to do it. But the point is, no matter what is said, no matter what happens around, and I've got to anchor myself in what God is saying. And I've got to apply it to myself. Doesn't mean to be arrogant and not listen. Listen. Because, you know, through listening to the experience of others, it can give me a window of a perspective. You know, it gives me that window. And, you know, I see things in another way. But, so the practice of being incorporeal can only be real for me if I've understood it deeply. And so, I mean, and then I made that inquiry and research. Do you know what it means to be complete? Or it's just a term? Yeah, this is the thing I have to be always aware of. What are terms, and I think I'm living those ideas, I think I'm living that code, but you know, what's actually happening? And the way that I can see that it's not true in myself is unhappiness. I'm not happy. I'm not feeling fulfilled. I feel something is always missing. Okay, it is a journey. It is a journey, definitely. But, you know, I've got to start and we needs, of course we have needs. That's why we came to Baba. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't look for him. We have the need to be loved. We have the need for this, for that. But gradually, if I'm a good apprentice, if I'm a good student, now I start to apply, I start to get result, and certain needs just do go down. Because it is neediness that shows I'm not complete. And we're not complete. I mean, we gradually become that. And but then, you know, if I'm always in a state of need, you know, I cannot have self-respect. And it can't be built up by a course. The course can give me an insight, very precious insight, very valuable insight. But then it's up to me to decide what I'm going to do. So the complete stage, and some of us said, how can you meditate on being complete if you're not? How can you meditate? I mean, why can you contemplate wholeness when you know you're not? But that's not the point. There is a behavior, an awareness when I am in action, what I have to do. And when I'm in silence, I go back. I return to that original state and I affirm it. And as you affirm, you start to emerge it and experience it. I am a complete soul. And we are unique, you know? One thing, I'm a soul, and we are also unique. And when you do it spiritually and you start to feel that uniqueness of your blueprints, if I do this spiritually, it won't devolve into arrogance. Because some people say, yes, I'm individual, you know, I'm unique. I remember one person was telling me that, you know, for about the 20th time, and I said, you know, so's Donald Duck, you know, I mean, okay, we know. But to do it spiritually, from a point of inner integrity and awareness, gives me a sense of fulfillment. So, in deep silence, in that remembrance, because it's also remembering who I am, as well as who Baba is, I emerge that I am complete, and I hold it. Contemplation is to hold the idea and then the feeling of my original completeness, my original purity. I'm not deceiving myself. I'm actually emerging that in the incorporeal state, in the I am consciousness, you know? I am peace. I am love. I am a soul. Now emerge it. And that emerging and then connected with the one who is complete, Baba, that gives some of the current and that recharges. So what happens is that then when I get into the daily life, and it's quite obvious I'm not complete as I have to face challenges and sanskars of others, but what has happened is through that yoga, that remembrance, that contemplative silence, my consciousness has gone to another level. And that consciousness going to another level, then when facing the challenges or facing the sanskaras or maya, whatever we like to call it, it's easy for me to start to use an aspect of love, whether it's detachment, respect. I start to feel more easy. I start to accept, really accept. You know, Baba says, each soul has their part. You know, again, I can say it like a litany, you know. You know what a litany is? You know, sort of say it over and over. Or I can really experience that. It's true. But that will only happen to the point that my consciousness is higher. And how will that be? You know, you can't wait till you're perfect. You can't wait till one is complete. You know, I have to do it in yoga. I do it in affirming what God has told me I am, and I believe it. I'm a non-violent being. Now, complete means many, many, many things. And this is where we reflect, what does it mean to me? And so, says that. That's the basis of progressive effort. It's the basis of returning back to that true self, that true me. But then another thing is, yes, the connection with the home, the space. We all like space, don't we? You know, people will say, "Give me space." You know, give space. You know. And you see, the only natural space is the home. Not even my own mind is the space is so natural and peaceful. So with my thought, going home. And home always gives this feeling of, you know, security, acceptance, origin. People always ask, where are you from? Where were you born? They do, don't they? Where do you come from? You know, if the customs ask you, where do you come from? So they see, you know, all the passport or stamp with all the different things. Where are you coming from? So Baba tells us where we're coming from, our origins. Our origins are all the same, and we all look the same. We're all points. And, you know, children usually look like their parents, so, you know, I look like my father and mother, point. Here on the earthly plane, nose, eyes are all different. But up there, that's equality. To see the other as a soul. You cannot have true equality unless there's the awareness and acceptance of the eternity of the other. The uniqueness, the eternal uniqueness of the other. I cannot have really equality unless that's very deep in my consciousness. Because otherwise something social or cultural or physical or whatever always comes in to interfere. It is the pure world. It is the natural world. It's the unprocessed world. It's therefore I can trust it. Do you go home often? You often go home? Do you really go home or you think you go home? Moira? Sometimes. See, this is the whole thing of spiritual awareness. That, you know, I've seen people, you know, they tell me, oh, that, you know, the muli was great and wonderful, and then they, you know, the next day they bark like a dog to somebody. You know, I mean, I said, where's the greatness of the muli? I mean, what happened to it? Yeah, but you see, I mean, we all do this. I do it myself, you know. But the point is not that we do it. The point is, you know, checking. So there's not that gap, because sometimes the gap is very deep, and after a while, that's where I lose my self-respect, because the gap is getting bigger through what I believe and what I really am. And so, the silence, the home. You know, like I'm free of everything. I'm free of roles. I'm free of masks. I don't have to prove anything. I'm there, facing. That's not the right word, facing. Being myself and being with my Father. Because God is God because He does have total acceptance. And that's a fact. This is not just a sweet praise. You know? It is a fact of God's being. And, you know, one feels secure in that. So going home and natural, complete. You know, these are the words that if I understand them, when I hold them in contemplation, in my awareness, I will start to experience it. And people say, but you know, isn't this a bit delusional? You know, maybe, you know, you sort of create it to feel good, yeah? I said, no, because, it can happen. It can be delusional, of course. But it will always reflect in my behavior. People may say lots of things about how they belong to Baba, how they, you know, got wonderful experience, how this is fine, good. But the lit, you know, the word litmus, the litmus test, the proof of it is not the description of the individual person, but it's their behavior, how they are. And behavior also, not just with others, but also the behavior with themselves. You know, and certain things like contentment and easiness and kindness, the way I use my words. These are, you know, we all, I mean, it doesn't mean we all have to be the same, you know. I mean, we're all different. Some are more dynamic, some are quieter. That's how it has to be. But there's no violence in the expression. That's the point. And this, you know, when I link with Baba in the home, there's the feeling of, there's not just closeness, but union. It's the union. In bhakti they speak of this union. You know, the bliss of union. And I'm sure Baba gave that experience to souls who were looking for him genuinely. But he definitely did. And even now he would. Even now. But that union is like, really, you know, I found that companion. And that in that union of being, you know, heart to heart, mind to mind, that's where the real purification takes place. Because sometimes people ask, you know, how does purification happen? You know, it's like, you know, take every defect out and present it. No, it's not like that. There may be one major thing that I have to put a little bit of attention on, and Baba has to give laser drishti to it or whatever. But the real purification, we call it purification, liberation, is when I can be in that union. And then what happens afterwards in my own daily life is, it's easy to check something that's against the blueprint of myself. You know, I get irritated, you know, reacting, not treating the other respectfully or myself respectfully. I will be able to check that. But I won't check it with guilt. I won't check it with burden. I check it with the feeling of being liberated. That's how I check it. Check, change, enjoy. For some people, it's check, 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 check all the time. And therefore, should, and you know, nothing moves. Or check and change sometimes. Check, it's convenient. I can't. It's too hard. But, you know, it depends how I have started the whole journey, you know. And the journey begins every day. It didn't, you know, people say, oh, I was 30 years in Gyan. Good, fine. But the journey is every day, no matter how long I have been in Gyan. 30 years, 20 years, 5 years, 2 years. The journey is every day. And my journey must begin natural. I must go to the natural, to the home, to my original blueprints. And contemplate those. Contemplation will empower, because there's nothing more frustrating than feeling you're going round in circles. Is there? Do you sometimes go round in circles? No. Very good. So circular movement is, you know, there's no lift off. You know, it's just go around and around. I get very dizzy, and others who watch me get dizzier. What are they going to do now? Where are they going now? So lift up. The gravity, to break the gravity, is only when I connect with the natural and the authentic. You do not find it here. Or partially, maybe partially, but not. It's that real support for genuineness is at this moment in time, it's beyond. You know, yesterday we talked about the different relationships with God, and through mishearing, we said, you know, one of them was a psychotherapist, you know. But actually, God is the psychotherapist. He's the time therapist. And he gives us time for doing things, and the time to do them, and how to do them. Okay, so what I, you know, now we'll have a little bit of yoga together and go home. Then we come back and there's a few questions. So just sit very relaxed. And sometimes, you know, we relax ourselves with our thought of peace. And sometimes, you know, even with our breath, just relax. Thought, breath, and time, you know. But of course, the most important thing is the thought. That's the key. So let me now imagine, visualize through understanding, taking my thought and going in to my incorporeal self, to those original blueprints, those original sanskars. I, the eternal being, I, the soul, with one thought, journey inward, and with my thought, I connect in the silence with my original sanskars, my original me, the original self, the original blueprint. I am peace, pure. Hold. I am joy, bliss. I hold this thought. I am pure love. I hold this thought. I am peace. And as I hold this thought, I experience, I remember. What I am. I concentrate, I contemplate this original state of my being, I the soul, a subtle point. Your energy point. I am bliss. I am peace. I am love. Let me now remain in this awareness. Gently remembering what I am, peace, bliss, love, purity, I, the non-physical being, the soul. With you. just to be here in the eternal silence of our eternal home has been the search of many lives. Father, mother, friend, I am here with you for all eternity. This is the bliss of union beyond the physical senses, soul to soul, heart to heart, mind to mind. I am absorbed in this experience beyond remembrance. I experience to be here with you. Love, bliss, peace, friendship. The incorporeal existence is the original existence. So what we can do is to recharge the self, thoughts that embody certain ideas like completeness, contentment, wholeness, whatever I may choose, blissfulness. I've reflected on it, as we said yesterday, so therefore I can contemplate it, hold it, and give myself to it. Surrender. Because if I start to think, well, I'm not sure, and this and that, and I wasn't before, and now, in this second, just be in the second, not even in the moment, in the second. And there I can connect to the original. I should not think about effort, analysis, purification, all of these things. In that second, connected and contemplate. And then I remember, and then moving beyond remembrance, I experience. Baba tells us to remember because we've forgotten. But once I remember, to be in that experience. And that is what empowers the soul. Knowledge, if it's not used properly, it can actually frustrate the soul. So, actually, I should, if there's anything you would like to ask on what's been said, any clarifications, or if you can't think of them now, yes? The feelings of the incorporeal signals, but actually the signal I think is the feeling that you will get. What happens when we really get into that original state and that original home? And now's the time, it's very accessible, it's Baba will pull the soul, things will happen. The feeling that is really there is actually there's a very positive detachment, and there's no needs. I don't want to say anything, I don't want to think anything, I don't want to, there's no wanting of anything. it is really this feeling of completeness. To describe it more in the negative is this not wanting things, not needing things. And even Baba, I don't need, but we come together. It just happens. I don't have to say, no, Baba, now I'm going to come close to you, now I'm going to do this. No, it's just, it's like a magnet, you know? And in that stage of consciousness, we are pulled to each other. There is there is not the process of thinking. I'm just the embodiment of that awareness. And the depth, the real depth of total liberation. That means there's not any feeling of burden. No burden is felt of guilt, of past, of effort, of future, of time. There's no actually feeling of time. It's like the world of eternity is the eternal present. You know, the home is the eternal present. And it's very natural you're in this I am. There's no will or was or whatever. There's no tense, you know. Just this is the feeling of the home, and don't think it's so difficult what I'm describing. I mean, reflect and contemplate. It comes. It's just, you know, we automatically, oh, that's, you know, how am I going to do that? You know, people start, how am I going to do that? How am I going to reach there? You know, everything begins with steps. Do the steps. They're not that difficult. I don't think that Baba has made this said easy Raja Yoga. It is not difficult, but what is difficult is the consistency, and sometimes not recognizing how. See, this is the whole thing of Maya. Maya offers promises that are totally unrealistic. Look, if you have attachment to this person, you know how happy you will be. You know how fulfilled you'll be. It's Maya's a politician, you know. Sort of, you know, this is the promise. Then it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. But I really believed it, and you know. And someone says, "Yes, of course. It's your habit to believe that artificial thing, and you don't feel it's artificial. You think it's real." So this is where you see. This taking time out, you know, quietness, silence, and learning to control. I know that's difficult. Maybe control is not again the right word, but mastering my emotions about things. And I think even worse than mastering my emotions about things is my ideas about things. I think that's even more difficult. Because, you know, ideas come from intellect, and intellect can be quite cool, quite this, and you can be convincing, yeah, that's level, headed. But anything that is, you know, that there's an attachment to idea, there's an attachment to a feeling, creates a very wrong picture. And I can be very attached to the way I think about things, or the way I feel about things. And again, I can be my own teacher. If I see something's extreme, you know, I should be. If that's the signal to me, you're off track if it's too extreme. You know, old souls are always extreme anyway. I mean, that's, you know, they go to the extremes of the cycle, so it's a bit normal. It's rather normal. They're extreme because they lived through the whole things, you know. So this is why for Baba, he said, you know, often our guideline is, you know, it's moderation and balance. And the pure feelings of the original coming out, you know, then they're not, those pure feelings are much more inclusive and democratic. They're not so passionate, and you know, the more passionate you are, the more exclusivistic you tend to be, you know. It tends to be like that. Okay, Om Shanti. Any more questions? Because you have your silence time now, your reflection time, and these are, can you see? Well, I'll read them out anyway. These are for personal reflection, 20 minutes, there's three questions. And the first question is, what do you feel when you hear the word home? Describe it. What do you feel when you hear the word home? Describe it. And B, and again, this is very important, this, from your experience, how would you describe the seed stage? That, you know, and it's quite fine to say it's slippery experience, you know, maybe I don't get it, or, you know, you've got, you know, remember this, it's reflection, it's the exercise of reflection. It's not to be exactly right or exactly this. This is not the point. It's just, you know, it becomes clear for you what you have understood about it. From your experience, how would you describe the seed stage? Can you think of 5 or 6 ways to describe it? Can you think of 5 or 6 ways to describe it? And C, are you returning to the complete stage? Are you? Are you returning to the complete stage? How do you know? And it's perfectly fine to say, you know, that I don't feel I'm fully returning because this happens and that happens. It's okay. You know, it's just, reflection is realization in order to move further. Because I want to move further. Not because I'm told to move further, but I want to. So, I'll read it again. Are you returning to the complete stage? How do you know? Oh, how you don't, I mean, maybe I'm not totally. Why? How can I tell? Okay, so we can go off for 20 minutes. And this is the minute, or you can have a drink, you can go to the bathroom, whatever. But do try to keep silence. Eh? Try to keep silence. Because, you know, deep reflection requires a space within. So what time now? Let's say at 12 o'clock, around 12 o'clock to come back. In the meantime, if someone does want to ask me questions, they can, know while the others are working, but sometimes I don't want to speak because then everybody sees me speaking and they start too. So do keep the silence. You'll see how actually that silence facilitates many things. So 12 o'clock back.